Welcome to Family Talk with our host, psychologist and author, and my dad, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Ryan Dobson here with my co-host, Luann.
And Ryan, last time your dad did begin an incredibly important conversation with five gentlemen on this epic battle that's going on in Washington, D.C. right now, really around the country, when it comes to the whole issue of whether or not our country is going to change the definition of marriage.
Luann, it seems like such an elemental thing. Marriage should be between one man and one woman, but for some reason that's not clear to everyone. Last time we heard some great rationale from our guests about why traditional marriage is so important to our culture. If you missed that, you need to go to myfamilytalk.com. You can listen to it right on our homepage, and it will give you an answer to those in your community who ask you why you only support marriage as between one man and one woman.
And we're going to pick up today's program with a taste of what was covered last time. Let's introduce our panel of guests very quickly. With us, Dr. Ken Hutcherson, the senior pastor of Antioch Bible Church in Kirkland, Washington, and of course, founder of the May Day for Marriage rallies. Bishop Harry Jackson, the senior pastor of Hope Christian Church in Washington, D.C., and the founder and chairman of the High Impact Leadership Coalition. Ryan, he actually called in from Israel, if you recall. He was suffering from walking pneumonia. We were so grateful he could join us. Who else did we have?
We had Gary Bauer, the president of American Values, and also the president of the Family Research Council, Tony Perkins.
And last but not least, Dr. Jim Garlow, the senior pastor of Skyline Wesleyan Church in San Diego, joined us. Dr. Garlow also led the California Pastors Rapid Response Team, which was a group of several thousand pastors committed to preserving marriage there in California with that whole Prop 8 battle in 2008.
Let's join the conversation now as my dad goes first to Dr. Jim Garlow.
Dr. Garlow, I want to start with you today and ask you to answer a question that you said most people, most Christians are not able to answer, which is, in effect, what should it matter to you if your neighbor's involved in a homosexual marriage? Why does that concern you? What difference will it make? You said that people have a hard time with that question. Would you answer it?
Yes, they don't understand the unintended consequences of so-called gay marriage. Now, some of the gay leaders say, well, they're unintended. And my response is, well, they may be unintended, but they still happen. There's still consequences. And that is tremendous loss of personal freedoms. You cannot operate in this world negating the notion of homosexual marriage without being accused of being a discriminator and intolerant and paying a dear price. Some doctors here in our own city of San Diego face this. There's people across the country that have tried to operate their businesses in godly and biblical ways and have found out they could not because the long arm of the law came down upon them. The second area is religious liberty, and that is we certainly know of places where the discrimination is so intense. Where already in Canada they face that, in Europe they face that, where pastors literally cannot speak out on this anymore. And if not, in fact, by law, then the self-censorship that comes from the chilling effect of frightening pastors from speaking out on this. And then the third area is the loss of parental rights, where parents actually lose the right to instruct their children in biblical ways regarding sexual expression.
Wow. Pastor Garlow. Would you please explain to them, you was doing a talk show on this issue, and there was an atheist on the panel, and what was his answer about homosexual marriage and heterosexual marriage living together?
Yeah, I was doing a television show in Los Angeles. In the midst of it, the hosts asked this question, why can't we all just get along here? Can we have traditional marriage and homosexual marriage operate side by side in the culture? I was going to respond to that, no. Before I got a chance to, a highly visible atheist, an attorney, the reason I knew him is because I had invited him to my church where he debated a Christian in an incredible moment in our church. But he barged in right that moment in the conversation and says, no, one is going to win, is one going to lose. They cannot coexist together. he answered it because he understood the issues. He answered it correctly.
Well, that should not come as a surprise. Even Kai Feldblum, who the president appointed to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, she's an open lesbian. Her confirmation was highly contested. And she was asked at one point, who wins out when it's a confrontation between one's religious freedom and liberty in the business world and someone's sexuality, in particular homosexuality? And she says, I don't see a case where religious liberty wins. Mm-hmm. And this is someone who's actually going to be enforcing laws within the in the business world. So we certainly know that this clash is coming unless, as has been said before, we join our voices together now and we speak, number one, to Congress. Congress needs to know. And as I've been on the Hill talking with the House Speaker and others regarding this, they need the backup of the American people speaking to them. They're committed to it. But the strength of their commitment is going to be contingent upon how strong Americans speak out. And so I think it's absolutely critical that you call your member of Congress and ask them to take a strong stand in defending DOMA, the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, and defending marriage in whatever way it's contested and challenged, asking them to take a strong defense. And a message to the House Speaker encouraging him in his stand would also be appropriate at this time.
Dr. Dodson, there are 10 different legal challenges to the Defense of Marriage Act currently pending in various federal courts. And so it is absolutely clear that sometime in the next year and a half, 2 years, one of those cases is going to get before the Supreme Court and it's going to be decided. Now, most Americans tend to know that they can impact their congressman and their senator, but most Americans assume there isn't anything they can do about what a judge does. But this Supreme Court is narrowly divided on most values issues. There are four predictable liberals, a couple of them appointed by President Obama. There are four fairly strong conservatives on the court. And then there's Justice Kennedy that tends to go back and forth. But unfortunately, on values issues, he's had a couple of very negative rulings over the years. So that court, when they get the case, they will be looking at America. I know they're only supposed to look at the Constitution, but courts do care about whether they're going to do something that causes outrage among the public. And if the court looks around America and the only people they see speaking up and making demands is the radical gay rights movement and a handful of left-wing politicians along with media personalities, they may very well rule 5-4 to strike down the Defense of Marriage Act. And if that happens, we have lost that battle forever. Once that battle has been lost, I don't see how we can ever get it back. But if they look around America and they see the churches of this country, whether they're black churches, white churches, Hispanic churches, Asian churches, urban, rural, whatever, speaking up in one with one voice, we've got a chance to prevent that disaster from happening. If every pastor led their congregation to understand this issue and led them to speak out, we can preserve God's institution of normal marriage between a man and a woman so that our country goes forward built on that value and our children and grandchildren will continue to be taught that this is the way God intended men and women to come together to raise families.
That is so well said, Gary. You know what amazes me is that 31 states have defined marriage as being between one man and one woman and put that in their constitutions. 31 out of 31. And yet the President of the United States issues an opinion several weeks ago saying that the Defense of Marriage Act is unconstitutional. And there's something wrong with that.
I think it averages out in the neighborhood of over two-thirds, almost 68%. But the pass rate isn't 51 or 52% across America. It's strong. We're two-thirds of Americans. And when I think of the role of Hutch, who's on here with us, and Harry, two strong, incredible leaders in the African-American community, a spiritual thought that came to my mind when I was sitting in Harry Jackson's church on the East Coast on this one weekend when I was away from San Diego and out on the East Coast. It hit me, and he called me to the platform, and I shared this with the congregation. Isn't it interesting that the African-Americans that were brought here against their will, coercively, in bondage, in chains, mm-hmm. in a horrific experience called slavery, they were forced here, and they end up being, in state by state, in many cases, what has saved us from the bondage and enslavement that would come upon us if gay marriage actually passed in a state, California being a prime example where the African-Americans saved us from the bondage we would have faced.
Wow. Harry,
what a thought. Harry Jackson, just want to dovetail. We really do need to merge the idea that this is a spiritual battle. We've got to fight it in prayer. We've got to preach on these things. And we have to do the natural things of mobilizing. We've got to use all the resources at Focus, also your great radio program here, Dr. Dobson, FRC, ADF. I go on and on with the organizations that have fought with us nationally. But unless we have all of these groups, black, white, Hispanic, mega church ministries, and then the mom and pop local churches, if we're not all engaged, then we lose. But this could be an opportunity for us to win, to return to biblical Christianity. I believe that's what God is asking for, but we cannot opt out of this battle. You've been saying it over and over again. And I just want to say to the listeners, if you're in a church that is not standing up for these things, you need to pray quietly, one-on-one, follow protocol, but I believe God wants to wake up the entire American church, and either we all stand together or we all hang separately, just like in the revolutionary days, is our challenge today.
Wow.
You know, let me just say something, Dr. Dobson, as we kind of move forward here. I think there's this sense of inevitability that the media and the left has created about this. And you touched on it when you talk about where this is in the states. Every time the citizens have a chance to vote on it, they vote for traditional marriage. And so this idea that this is inevitable, that we're marching down this path, it's fiction. But it's coming from the left. It's propaganda. It's the homosexuals pushing this, only from the media elite and some of the politicians. The fact that Bishop Jackson and the black pastors that he led there in Maryland stunned the political establishment, stunned them that same-sex marriage was turned back in Maryland. The day after the election in November, where Maryland was one of the few places where the liberals made gains, they said this was the first thing on their agenda, was same-sex marriage. It was turned back. Even now in Indiana, a constitutional amendment is making its way through there. New Hampshire, they're working to turn back same-sex marriage that was created there. So all across America, the people are standing for traditional marriage. It's only the media and the homosexuals that are pushing their agenda that are saying this is inevitable. It's not inevitable if we simply speak the truth, speak it in love, but speak it nonetheless.
And when they try to speak that the 18 to 29-year-olds all overwhelmingly affirm gay marriage and homosexual lifestyle, they fail to point out that these people do grow up. They eventually get married. Marriage tends to domesticate a male, and once they have their first house payment and have their first baby, they oftentimes become inherently more conservative. They want to conserve some things. So it's not just a case of these people growing older and staying the same. It's they mature, and once they mature, they realize the value of marriage and family.
Wow.
Dr. Garlow, I recall reading that Lincoln said that he was very frustrated when he first started debating slavery, because he would try to debate it with other politicians, and often their response was, Abe, that's a moral issue. Don't be bringing that into politics. And then Lincoln would go to the churches and try to talk about the moral imperative of dealing with slavery, and the pastors would stop him and say, Mr. Lincoln, don't bring that political issue into this church. Mm. So whether it was the church or the political system, none of them wanted to deal with that great evil, and this country paid a horrifying price as a result. Well, today, I think we've all seen this. Quite frankly, a lot of politicians, even the ones on our side, would prefer to talk about something else. It's just not an issue that they're comfortable with. And yet, so often, Dr. Dobson, I know this has happened to you, it's happened to me, I'll get letters from people who've gone to their pastors, and their pastors will say, don't go bringing politics into this church, when in fact, what you're bringing in is a discussion of God's institution of marriage. So I think one of the things we all want our listeners to do is to respectfully but firmly get a little group together in your church and ask to meet with your pastor or your priest or your rabbi, whoever it is, and say, we really need you to lead on this issue. We need you to instruct the congregation about the biblical foundations of marriage between a man and a woman. And I think that if pastors knew that that kind of leadership was expected from them, many of them at this critical time would step up.
Dr. Dobson, we observed something here in California in the Prop 8 battle, that there were many, many church people, good church people, and unfortunately quite a few pastors who did not understand the biblical and theological underpinnings for marriage. They knew marriage was a good thing, God established it, but beyond that, they couldn't make a real defense of it biblically. I'm talking about people who care about the Scripture, not talking about social science data, but to those who say they adhere to scriptural truth.
I read something wonderful that you wrote about the fact that Jesus' ministry began with marriage, referring to the marriage that occurred in Cana and when Jesus turned the water into wine, and it ended with the marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelation, and marriage being a metaphor of our relationship with Christ, and we're the bride. That gives you something of the significance of marriage in God's scheme of things, doesn't it?
Yeah, actually, I'd push it back from Jesus and Cana all the way. The Bible begins with the wedding of Adam and Eve, and the imagery is clear all the way through that God is using that vehicle to reveal and depict his very nature. So he has a lot at stake writing here, and one of my deep heartbreaks during Prop 8 was the number of Christian people who did not grasp how God feels about this topic. Let's push aside everything else.
Amen.
Push aside the politics, push aside the social science data. What really matters is, what does God feel about this? And the Scripture is so clear in Genesis, God has such confidence in the institution of marriage that he chose a husband and wife coming together as being the full expression of the full spectrum of the image of God. And then we jump from Genesis to Revelation, the end of the book, we see the imagery of Jesus in the church, and we mistakenly assume that God looked at earth, saw husbands and wives, and borrowed from that metaphor and applied it to Jesus in the church, the culmination of history. He did not. It's just the opposite. So God had so much confidence that he knew that we wouldn't grasp Jesus and the church coming together, so he brought male and female together to fit together perfectly, physically, psychologically, and spiritually. And he says, when they come together, they're going to get it. That's going to be my model for helping people understand the culmination of history of a spiritual truth that they can't see yet, Jesus and the church coming together. If we grasp how much value God places on the institution of marriage, we would be much more faithful in defending it and being able to articulate its value.
All right, amen. Gentlemen, we've got 3 minutes left, about 3.5. Let's talk about how people can make a difference if they're going to call their congressman. First of all, they won't get him or her. They will get a staff member. What are the words that should be used?
They need to tell them that marriage is important to them as a constituent, that they would like to see the congressman, the congresswoman, aggressively defend the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, stand with the speaker, and defend marriage against any and all attacks that come from the courts or from this administration, but be very clear and emphatic that this is something that is important to our society and important to you as a voter.
I think I just want to encourage the listeners out there to understand one thing. I love it when they say that this is an impossible task. I don't want you to believe that. So why should we ask God to get involved with something that man can do? And when it becomes impossible, just separate the M and the P and know that I am possible. That is God, and that's the one we serve. Call your congressman. Call and get and talk to your pastor. make sure that the church is ready to do what it takes to win this battle and defend marriage.
Tony and Gary, you're both in Washington, D.C. What is the phone number of the switchboard at the Capitol building?
202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. Just tell them, if you don't even know the name of your congressman, that's okay. Just tell them your zip code, and they will connect you with the office of your congressman. Talk to the staff. Tell them you want to see your congressman defend marriage.
Dr. Dobson, let me mention another thing that folks can do. You know, it's a great country, and thankfully we are free men and women, and we saw that freedom in action just this last year when tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Americans of all backgrounds concerned about our national debt and growing government went to congressional town hall meetings. Almost every member of Congress goes home periodically and has these open meetings and generally invites the public to come and tell them what's on their mind. So if thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of believers went to those town hall meetings respectfully but firmly, questioning their congressmen and their senators and saying, we want you to do everything you can to preserve marriage in America as the union of one man and one woman.
Well, Hutch, I think I said once or twice before in these 2 days that these programs were motivated by you and a phone call that you made to me because of your great passion for marriage and your great concern for it. And you have demonstrated that to me every time I've heard you speak almost from the very beginning of our friendship. Let me give you the last word. What would you like to share with our listeners?
I'd like to just let them know that we have the Bible on our side, and I just want to encourage them not to lose heart because of what God established all the way back in Genesis chapter 11. You remember when the people was commanded by God to go and replenish the earth, and they got there in the plain and of the desert, and they decided they were going to stop, and they start building the Tower of Babel, Doc. And when God came down to look to see what they was doing, this is one of the most amazing statements that God made that I've never heard anyone reiterate, and I could be wrong, but I haven't heard it. He says, the reason why I am going to separate the people is because as long as they have one language and one speech and they're working together, there's nothing that they cannot accomplish. Now, Doc, this is a bunch of people that is going against the word of God. Now, if an unbelieving people, a rebellious people, working together can accomplish all things that God had to separate them. He brought the church back together at Pentecost. And he's saying, if the non-believer, if the rebellious can do all things together, what can we do as believers together? And that's why I believe as we come together as a multitude, there's nothing that can stop us on defending DOMA.
Boy, Hutch, that'll preach, I tell you. There's your sermon for next Sunday morning. Well, thanks again for all of you being with us today. And once again, we've been talking to Dr. Ken Hutcherson, Bishop Harry Jackson, Dr. Jim Garlow, Gary Bauer, and Tony Perkins. And let me just say to our listeners, with your passionate involvement on this issue, we can make a difference. And God's blessings to you all.
Great to be with you, Jim.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Bless you.
Great to be with you, Jim.
And we are so grateful that all of these busy men could be with us these past 2 days to talk about this incredibly important issue here on Family Talk. If you didn't catch the first half of this conversation, which we aired yesterday, you really did miss quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I urge you to go online to catch that at myfamilytalk.com. In fact, I would encourage you to even share a link to this program with family and friends.
Also at myfamilytalk.com, we have a ton of follow-up resources to give you the tools to talk about why you support traditional marriage, including information on how to contact your legislator on Capitol Hill and to sign a petition to tell your legislators you want them to support the Defense of Marriage Act. Again, it's at myfamilytalk.com.
And of course, you can also sign up for email updates from a number of different pro-family organizations to keep on top of this important battle. Again, all of that begins at myfamilytalk.com or give us a call, 877-732-6825.
And if you appreciate programs that keep you up to date on cultural issues in Washington, D.C. and around our country that affect your family, consider giving a gift to Family Talk. We want to continue to be on the radio defending righteousness, and we can't do it without your help.
That is so true, Ryan. You can donate when you call that number again, 877-732-6825, or even give online at myfamilytalk.com. In fact, while you're there, check out the information we have about our donation matching program going on right now, which will double the impact of your gift.
Thanks for choosing to be with us today. Make plans to be with us next time when we'll turn our attention on how to trust the Lord in the midst of tough times. Don't miss it.